Pull up to Luke chapter 2 real quick. And boy, y'all pray for them workers back there in Children's Church.
I was finishing up Sunday school and them kids are already bouncing off the wall. And I said, y'all going to have to be quiet. Sunday school ain't over. I'm sure Brother Jim heard them over there in the while they were waiting to come into Sunday school. I said, y'all going to have to settle down a little bit. So y'all pray for them workers over there. Bless their heart for putting up with all them children. I'm telling you, that's a big job. Amen. I told Brother Samuel, I said, hey, why don't you go in there and or you go and take care of choir. I said, I'm going to go in there and eat. They're eating good this morning. I said, then when you're done, you come get me and I'll come out here and preach. Amen. Get some of that chips and cheese. I'm telling you, I'm a sucker for chips and cheese. That's why I'm the shape I'm in. But anyway, y'all pray for them over there. They're having a good time this morning. Let's try to for us to have a good time.
Yeah.
Like singing. I love Christmas time. Amen. This is my favorite time of the year. I'll say that again in a minute, but anyway, I love Christmas time. All right, chapter 2 of Luke. Everybody there?
Yes.
A few verses here, very familiar, and it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the end." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. And Lord, I do pray for many of our members that are sick and are battling some illnesses in their life. Lord, we do pray for them this morning. And Lord, we do pray for those that's here this morning that are lost and don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray for their heart, Lord. I pray that you would just help them to understand their need for Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray for our missionaries this morning as well, all over the world, that you would help them and give them fruit for their labor, Lord, of out there trying to put the gospel out. And Lord, we want to be careful in here to give you the honor and glory. We want to pray for our workers back there with the children, Lord, that you'd strengthen them, help them as well. And we do all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I hope that you would feel that way. Amen. I know everybody likes spring and summer and fall and all that. But myself, most of y'all know by now that I don't hardly ever get cold. Amen. So it is a wonderful time of the year. The fact that it was 20 degrees this morning, I said, thank you, Jesus. I went outside in my T-shirt and my pajamas and just took in the nice cold air because it felt so good. I'm trying to be nice to my wife and leave the window unit off in the bedroom so she can sleep a little bit. But I love it. It is the most wonderful time of the year. But people celebrate this time for many different reasons. You and I know that. There's some people that celebrate this because of Santa Claus. And, you know, unfortunately, in the day that we live in America, it's more celebrated for Santa Claus than it is Jesus. Amen. And it's not just the kids that are excited about Santa Claus. I guarantee you, if you walk back there into them children's church and you start talking about Santa Claus, they're going to be excited, are they not? I mean, they're waiting for those toys to come. They're waiting for whatever, and they are hyped up about it. But I tell you who else is excited about Santa Claus. Walmart, Kmart, Macy's, all them big stores are excited about Santa Claus. So is all the retailers out there. Amazon is happy for Santa Claus and all that stuff. So a lot of people are celebrating because of Santa Claus, and some people are celebrating because it's time of giving. I've got some upper-end type personnel that what are they called? Customers that come that enjoy giving this time of the year. They enjoy that. I mean, it's a time they don't reference Jesus Christ. They don't reference Santa Claus or any of that stuff. But it's a time of giving. We know by Salvation Army, they give testimony that somebody puts $10,000 in or this or that and everything else. Somebody, my wife reads me all that social media stuff, but somebody up north went into a Walmart or something and paid off $46,000 worth of layaway. I thought, man, I should start laying away some stuff, amen? But it's a time of giving, and we like to give. I like to give during this time. It feels good to give, amen? And during Christmas time, people love to give and give away gifts and give away things. And we also know that some people love this time because it's a time off work. Anybody getting any time off work because of Christmas? Yeah, all of us at work get some time off. I'm even thinking about closing my whole shop between Christmas and New Year's and let my guys rest for a week. I'm not going to pay them, but I'm going to give them a week off, amen? Let them rest if that's what they want to do. And then, of course, but for us Christians in here today, it's a time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, amen? And that is the best thing to celebrate, is the fact that Jesus Christ came. We sing all the songs about it. We love to sing the songs about Jesus Christ coming. And if you're a child of God, you ought to be excited about Christmas time, amen? At least shake your hand or something. Wake up, amen? I'm going to preach a long time if y'all don't wake up, amen? We ought to celebrate this time because of Jesus Christ, not because of the gifts, not because of Santa Claus or any of that kind of stuff, but because of what significance that meant when Jesus Christ was born. And I'm going to preach on that this morning a little bit. But I want to know this morning what you think of when you see the manger scene. You know, I got about half scared a minute ago. I didn't even look to make sure that thing was there. And I was trying to look around somebody that was in front of my wife. Said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm making sure that manger scene's up there." I said, "Are you going to have to run to CVS and buy one?" I said, "Because I forgot to look to make sure that thing's sitting down there." But I don't know what you think of when you see that manger scene. You know, maybe it's childhood memories. It is for me, because I remember my neighbor when I was lived in Chickamauga would always put the nativity scene out there. They would have those wise men and all that. I hate to say what we did to that thing when we were children, but he did put it out there every year. Somehow those wise men were always bowing down to the Lord quite often when we pushed them over. So I think of that when I see that manger scene. I go, boy, that's some rough times in my life when I didn't really do what I was supposed to do and I was being mean. Some of you got to think way back to them childhood memories about the nativity scene. Some of you might even think when you see that about church time, when you were in church and the things that happened, maybe a Christmas play. I know a lot of churches have Christmas plays during this time of year about the nativity, and isn't it a blessing to see them little kids come in with the shepherd's things? And Miss Lisa did a good job this year, and the ladies that helped her with the nativity scene that we put on the Christmas float. And I'm gonna tell you, if you've been in the Christmas parade and you see our float come down with those children on there, doing the scene and doing the Mary and Joseph, it puts smiles on people's face when they see that. And sometimes those memories flood back into you from when you were a kid and think, man, I used to do that when I was a child. I used to be Mary, or I used to be Joseph, and all that kind of stuff. And those floods come in. So we have memories of that. And then last night, of course, when you see the nativity scene, you might think of parades. That's why I was late last night. I turned the corner coming down 27, and there was lights everywhere, fire. I said, man, what happened down here? Well, nobody told me it was the Fort O'Thorpe Parade, so I could have went a different way and got here. So I had to wait on that thing to get the choir practice last night. And so we have parades, we have all that stuff and plays that we might think of. But this morning, I want you to think about something else. What I think about when I see it is that song, Away in a Manger. And I just want to preach this morning, if you'll let me, just for a few minutes, on Away in a Manger. The theme being that Jesus Christ is the way for so many things in our life that we take for granted. Amen. So many things that we don't think at Christmas time that we wouldn't have if it wouldn't been for Jesus Christ being born. Amen. I want my children to know that Christmas is more about getting that present on Christmas Day, but it's getting the present, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what I want them to think about. And just for a few minutes this morning, I'd like to preach on a few thoughts about that. Thinking about, just for a minute, the miraculous birth, what it provided for us today. First of all, it is the way for salvation in our life. Amen. When Jesus Christ came, if you think about that, what it meant for us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, I want you to think, listen to what the Bible says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. When Jesus Christ came, we can think about how great it was. You and I in here, when I looked around this morning, I said, Lord, mostly Christians in here this morning, mostly those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there may be somebody in here this morning and say, what are we escaping from? What is He talking about? How shall we escape? What's going to happen to us? What's He talking about? You know, when the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And listen what happens. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen what verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You want to know what we're escaping this morning? You know what? How shall we escape? We're escaping the fires of hell. Amen. We're escaping eternal damnation to a place that God never created for you and I to be in. Amen. Well, we're escaping the horrors of death. Amen. And I tell you, sometimes we don't realize that what Jesus Christ did for us is when He was born was providing a way for you and I to escape hell. You know, I thought some people don't like to preach on hell no more. They don't like to mention hell, but the reality is hell exists. Amen. Even some of my lost people that I talk to and stuff, we were talking about a pond, a simple thing the other day. We were talking about a pond, and Chad comes up with some of the craziest stuff in the world. I never know when he's lying or telling the truth, but down there where I live, there's a pond, and it's known not to have a bottom. That's what they say. The locals say that that pond has no bottom. That when you go in it, it goes down into some underground rivers, and it comes out here and there in China and all that stuff. And, you know, even Chad, he's not that big on religion. He's not that big on church. He's saved. I talked to him about that. But even him, you know, he said, well, I know that can't be a bottomless pond, or it'd be falling because it goes straight to hell. Amen. People realize that there is a hell, but they, in their mind, excuse the fact that without Jesus Christ, that's where our eternity is. They excuse the fact that what the Bible says about hell is the truth. Amen. The Bible says one day, if you're not written in the book of life, if your name's not found there, that you will be cast into the lake of fire. And there's no getting out of that. Amen. The rich man went there, and we see that. He said, how can I get there when there's a great gulf between here and there? There's no way I can get from here to where Abraham is. There's no way I can get from here to God. And that's true. Once you pass that up, you will not be able to escape the fires of hell. Amen. Today is the day that you escape the fires of hell. Amen. It was 20 years ago for me when I escaped the fires from hell. I remember in Haiti when we went up to the mountaintops and we went to preach in a little toenail church up there. And as we walked by, the witch doctors were having a ceremony and they had their recruits in there and they were doing those rituals to those new recruits and they were playing the devil's drums and doing all that stuff up there. And Brother Fred looked at me and he says, hey, what are we? We're trying to make them escape the pits of hell. Amen. Maybe somebody could be pulled from that cult, pulled from that witch doctor, away from the forces of that. And you and I know in here as children of God, unfortunately, millions of people neglect the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like it said in the Bible that there was no room for Him in the end, that last verse I read, unfortunately there's no room for Jesus Christ in the hearts of people. And they neglect this wonderful gift that has been given to the world. Amen. They neglect what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Jesus brought salvation to you and I. Isn't that a blessing? Think about that this morning. I get excited about it. I was hoping somebody in here get excited with me, amen, about the fact of what Jesus Christ has brought to you and I, what God has given. I appreciate whoever did the bulletin this morning. I left John 3:16 out of my next section because we all know it all the time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a verse to hang on to, amen. What a verse to believe and I preach that to my teenagers all the time. If they don't know how to get saved, then shame on them, amen, because I tell them every Wednesday night how to be saved. Is that not right, Mustang? If you ever left Fellowship Baptist Church, if you ever quit listening to me, the one thing that'll ring in your head the rest of your life is how to be saved. Do you believe that? That's exactly what I've told them. John 3:16, what a lovely verse. What a gift that God has given to us, the birth of Jesus Christ. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Woo! I'm telling you, we just don't understand, amen. I didn't understand when I was a child. I thought all this stuff was this and that and all that. I sat on the pew benches like these teenagers. Well, I didn't. I didn't sit in church when I was a teenager. But if I had been, amen, I'd be like some of them, goofing off, doing this, laying their head down, doing all that kind of stuff. Wouldn't even gave a second thought about the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, and what it meant. But thank God, when I was 24 years old, I finally understood that Jesus Christ wasn't trying to take my fun away, amen. He wasn't trying to hurt me. He wasn't trying to do all kinds. He wasn't trying to put His thumb down on me and saying, "Son, you ain't going to have no fun." What He was trying to do was to save me from the destruction I was causing myself, amen. Whoo, I'm telling you, I was on that rough road. I was on that road of destruction, and nobody put it on it but me, myself, and I, amen. He said He came, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's the problem this morning. So many people are neglecting Jesus Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's sad. I know some of you've got family members that neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you got friends that neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. You got work people that neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I talked to Samuel this morning in Sunday school. If us Christian people don't start opening our mouths, amen, if we don't start preaching a little bit when we leave church and tell people, I'm going to tell you, just like that missionary said, that blood's going to be on our hands. You and I have the greatest opportunity right now to share the gospel with somebody. You know, it's Christmas time. You can go to Walmart and say, "Hey, do you really know why we're celebrating this time? Do you really know why you're buying all those gifts and why all that came about?" It's so easy to witness right now, is it not? Yes, it is. It's so easy to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He came to save. Look in I'll read verse 18. He says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." How do you get saved, Mustang? Believe. Believe. That's all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Boy, isn't that the truth, preacher? I mean, when you start talking about the light, you start talking about Jesus Christ and church and all that, people start doing like this, like it's going to melt them, amen. Like they're some kind of vampire. When the light shines, they're going to burn up and turn to ash. People are scared like that these days, amen. When they don't understand it's God's love. It's not God's hate. It's God's love. The reason why He sent Jesus Christ into the world. Everybody, boy, you read your bulletin, whoever put that in there, that's good. Talking about the love of God, that God sent His love, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He loved us so much. That's a good little thing in there to read. Who does this include? Who are we talking about? Who shall escape? Who will get saved? Who is all that? You know, every one of us is condemned. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Every person has sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, it's one of those things, preacher, where you and I ain't all spit, shine, and polished and all that, and sit up here with our ties on straight and our pants pulled up and all that stuff, and say, "You people need to be saved." All people need to be saved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, when it comes to that, we're all on the same level, amen, and we're all sinners. Jesus Christ came to say, what did it say there? That the whole world might be saved through Him, not just a couple of us. I'll tell you, I wish my family members would listen to the gospel. I wish some of them would get saved. And the sad part is, this morning, even as I'm preaching, I'm thinking about some of my family members that's burning in hell today. As I preach this, I think about my daddy. My daddy was a low down, no good for nothing individual, as far as I know. Was a dope head, an alcoholic, all that stuff. I can't give anybody, find me testimony where my father accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and changed his ways. As far as I know, my daddy was still smoking dope when he burned up in that house fire that sad Saturday night. As far as I know, my daddy's in the deepest parts of hell tonight, or this morning, and that saddens my heart. What saddens me even more is people have the opportunity to be saved today. People have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they neglect that great salvation that God provided for you and I. The other sad part is you and I, amen, that neglect to go out and tell people about hell. That neglect to go out and tell people how much God loves them, amen. I thought a church house would be packed this morning. I invited somebody to come this morning. They didn't show up. Now, I'm not going to be no saint with my wings tucked in and all that stuff. I don't invite somebody every Sunday. I really don't. I invite people from time to time when I have the opportunity. I'll invite somebody to come to church. But you know, shame on me. There's a million people around me that I can invite to come to church every single Sunday. There's a million people around me every single day of the week that I could tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You want to make America great again? It requires you and I to open our mouth and to say something about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't Trump that's going to do it, amen. It's going to be the children of God that go outside these doors and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. They go out and tell people about that wonderful gift that God has given. And then America can be great again. Amen. I'm telling you, shame on us when it comes to that. Shame on me when it comes to that. People come in and out of my door. They read the signs on the door. They see the signs on the walls. But shame on us for not opening our mouths and telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's so simple for them too. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, what does the Bible say, Mustang? I'm going to put you on the spot. Yeah. For whosoever shall be saved. Hey, my teenagers know that. But you know what? Those kids at her school don't know that. You know the people out here on the street, they don't know that. They don't know that if they simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. How come you know they don't know that, Brother Ron? Because there's every kind of silly religion out there. There is. There's every kind of cult out there that's grabbing people left and right. There's every kind of nonsense out there about how to be saved that you can imagine. Church of God is out there misleading people. Church of Christ is out there misleading people. All them other things are misleading people. And the truth is what God said in His Bible, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You say, well, how do I do that? How does all that transpire? Well, one, the Bible says that God will draw all people unto Him if we do what? Lift Him up. If we lift Him up and they have the gospel, they have the verses, the Holy Spirit's working, then God will draw them unto them, and all they have to simply to do is believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that was one of my problems when I got saved, preacher. That it was that simple. That it was that simple. You mean that's all I got to do? You mean that's it? Is simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that He rose from the dead and I shall be saved? For years I said it can't be that simple. Look at all that I've done. Look at what kind of sinner I am. I mean, I'm a bar hopper. I do all these different things. I cuss like a sailor because I was a sailor. Amen. I've treated my mom bad. I've treated my family bad. I've done everything under the sun that you can imagine. And all I got to do is just simply believe that that birth, that that cross, and that resurrection, that's going to save me? Preacher man said, yes. You'll believe in your heart that that's what God did. You shall be saved. Smiley, let me tell you something. That morning, I'd heard it my whole life. That morning, I got myself up from where Brother Stephen is sitting right back there. It's where I was sitting that Sunday morning. I had come down there, hung over from the night before. I'd made my way around the back of the pew. I walked down through there nasty with my old jeans on, my old cowboy boots, and my nasty t-shirt. And I come down through there, and preacher man was standing up there. And I said, hey, I need to get saved. I need to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that preacher man said, well, all you got to do, son, is believe. Do you believe? And I said, I believe. And he said, well, go back there with my deacon and pray with the deacon. And I'm going to tell you something. God did it just like that. Saved my soul.
Amen.
Escape the fires of hell. Escape the condemnation that I had created for myself. Put me on a different road, amen. I teach the Romans Road Wednesday night. That's the road I got on, amen. The straight and narrow road. And I have a hard time staying on that road every now and then, right? I mean, I'm still a what? Sinner, saved by grace. But I got some hands out there on each side that hold me up. And when I start to get a little, he just stands me back up. He said, it's going to be all right. Just follow after me. Oh, you all right. I got you. Just keep on walking. Put me on the right path. And I'm telling you, I don't do everything right like I'm supposed to. I don't cross my dot my I's and cross my T's like I'm supposed to. But God keeps me on that road. Amen. God has put me on a road. I never want to go off that road. Amen. I never want to turn back to that other stuff. And I'm telling you, millions of people today are neglecting that great salvation that Jesus Christ has provided. Not only is He the way to salvation, but He is the way for peace. Amen. So many people today have no peace in their heart. So many people today have no peace about them. They don't have any of that. They don't understand what that means. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," and listen, "the Prince of Peace." Woo! I'm going to tell you how rich it is not only to be saved, but to have some peace in your life. Amen. I didn't have no peace growing up. There wasn't any peace in my home. There wasn't no peace in my life. There wasn't no peace with the friends I hung out with. There was no peace ever in my life. I didn't know from night to night most of the time where I was sleeping as a teenager. Some of y'all know what that's like. I didn't know from night to night what was going to happen or here. There was no peace in my life without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brought, He's the Prince of Peace. Not just from hell in your mind, but peace in your heart. Amen. That turmoil that's in your heart all the time. We see it all the time. We have lost people come in here all the time on Sunday mornings. And you can see they have no peace in their life. If you're a Facebooker, you can follow some of them on Facebook and see there is no peace in their life. Always trouble here, always trouble there, always something going on. Never have peace, and then they spill it to the world through Facebook. Amen. But God will give you peace in your heart. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And I can attest to that, and many of you can, that live some of your adult life as a lost sinner. Some of you that live without Jesus Christ can attest to the fact there's no peace in your heart when you're living after the world. Amen. There's no peace in your heart when you're on the wrong side of the tracks. Boy, I tell you, there's no peace unto the wicked. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, listen, this is a promise. I love the promises of God.
Amen.
Listen what He promised. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Sister Lisa, you will know what? When I got saved, I was still in the Navy, and I really didn't have much thought about dying. I was young. You know, I was 24 years old when I got saved. I didn't really have a lot of thought about dying. But after, and these were minor, obviously, because I'm still alive. But after the second helicopter crash I went through, I started thinking, you know, I might just die. You know, there is a possibility that I could die. And that started hitting me, and when I started getting on that helicopter as a lost man and sitting down in that seat knowing that once they pulled chocks and we went up in the air, I may not come back. There's a good chance I might be being pulled out of that ocean out there one day. There's a chance we might splatter on the runway one day. And those thoughts started coming through my head, Sister Linda. And then one day, I was supposed to be on a flight. I was a test crewman as well. And they come and got me, and they said, "Petty Officer Johnson, we need you in the line shack. We got to have somebody in there. We're going to tell Rainwater take your place." And I said, okay, that made me mad because I love to fly. I got off the flight. I went into the line shack telling those kids what to do and all that stuff. About 20 minutes later, the thing come over the telephone. We didn't have all that fancy stuff back then. So they called there in the office of the line shack. I answered the phone. They said, Petty Officer Johnson, you need to gather everybody you got. Go get in the service trucks and all that. We just had a helicopter go down on the other side of Chesapeake Bay. A Cessna just flew into the side of one of our helicopters, the one I just got off of. You know, I started thinking, boy, that could have been me. That should have been me. I started thinking, man, what if I would have died? I would have split hell wide open. You know, from then on out, every time I got on that helicopter, I didn't have the peace that I had before. I didn't have none of that. You know why? Because there was no peace in my heart, because I realized if something happened to me, that I'd split hell wide open. I didn't enjoy flying no more, Smiley. I wanted to get out of that. I said, I don't think I want to leave the ground anymore. I think I'll stay on this ground. Amen. But when I got saved, I had a year of flying left. I'm telling you, this is the truth. When I got saved, God put a peace in my heart that when I stepped on that helicopter from then on out, I didn't have no worries. Didn't bother me a bit. Matter of fact, I enjoyed getting closer to God in that helicopter. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have that when you're chasing after the world. You don't have that without the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does He settle your mind with salvation, but He settles your heart with the peace. His peace that He has. You remember that little story? It ain't a story, but that little thing in the Bible. When those disciples got out there on the sea and the storm's coming. Now, if I ask you to raise your hand in here this morning, anybody that has a storm in their life, just about every one of us put our hand up. In some form or fashion, we go through the storms of life. Amen. I was in one 2 weeks ago. I had my own little storm going. It didn't affect anybody else. Well, it affected my wife because I was worried to death. But I had my own little storm going on. And I prayed. I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed and I said, God, now listen, this is a storm to me. This is a storm in my life. And I need some help here. Now, God, I need Your peace in my heart right now. I need You to help me right now with what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, within a day, I had some peace in my heart. Did I not, honey? Because God gives His peace to you. The storm didn't go away. The storm didn't stop, but God said, I'll put the peace there. How many of you have ever experienced that in here to testify that? God to just settle that thing down, put some peace in your heart, help you through those storms of life. I wish it was always like it was in the Bible when just Jesus show up and say, peace, be still, and everything just stop, like He did the disciples. But He told His disciples, He said, I'm going to give you my peace. I ain't always going to take the storm away. I'm not always going to take the situation. And we know by Paul's life, amen. Did God take Paul's storms away? No, but He gave him the peace to handle it. He said, I'll calm your heart. And by the time we get down in Acts, Paul says, I'm just glad I'm worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. Amen. That's because he had the peace of God in his heart. The peace that God gives us is unbelievable. Not only His salvation, but His peace that He gives us. But the next thing is His joy. How many of you got joy in your heart today? I mean real joy. I don't mean that you're just happy that you woke up breathing this morning, amen. Or that you were able to actually get out of bed and walk across the living room floor. I'm talking about real joy. See, real joy, you don't have real joy because of circumstances. You don't have real joy because you got $100 in your pocket and you're going to go eat lunch today. You don't have real joy in your life because, you know, it's good at church and preacher quit on time. You don't have real joy because of that your car's... That's temporal. That's temporal. Those things come and go. But Jesus Christ can give you joy that lasts forever. You know how great it is to know that whether I wake in the morning or whether I live, that I have Jesus Christ with me? That's a joy that nobody can take away from me. This world can throw every curveball it wants to at you, but God's joy doesn't go away. I don't try to fool our teenagers or fool anybody about the fact of sin. I did when I was in jail. Sin is fun, is it not? Just agree. You know it is. People have fun. People wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. Right? Your flesh wouldn't desire it if it wasn't fun. But it don't bring no joy. I feel sorry for those people. I pray for them. I pray for our soldiers. I pray for the people in the bars and all that stuff, because I came from that kind of stuff and everything else. And I'm going to tell you, they may think that their troubles are gone away. They may think all that's gone away when they're drinking the bottom out of a bottle. They may think all that's joy and all that stuff is in their life, but they wake up the next morning empty and as sorry as they was before they started drinking. Sometimes even more so because of what they did while they were drinking. There ain't no joy in sin. Joy lasts and lasts and lasts. There's a difference between having fun and having joy in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? I wake up thankful every day that I'm saved. I wake up thankful every day that Jesus Christ talks to me. I wake up every day. When I sing that song, Jesus Take Me by the Hand and all that kind of stuff, that's just not a temporal thing. I believe that. When the Bible says He'll never leave me or forsake me, I believe that. And He never has. When I get in that car and them boys are raising Cain in the back seat and everything's going on and all that, I tell you, I go to my happy place. You know where my happy place is? Jesus Christ. Because He can put that joy there despite what them kids are doing. Amen. Otherwise, I'd probably just kill them. But the Lord puts that joy there. The Lord puts that there because it's His joy that He gives us. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says this in the Christmas time. I didn't read this verse a minute ago. But if we read on down there in Luke chapter 10, just a few more verses. But chapter 2 verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great," what? "Joy, which shall be to all people." You know, salvation is to all people. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this great joy is to all people. To all people. God is so good to us, we just don't understand. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Galatians 5, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." You know what that means? That means nobody can tell you can't be saved. You know, it don't matter if Trump would have got in, Hillary got in, it wouldn't matter if Russian leader was in control. Nobody, there is no law that man can put on you saying you can't be saved. There is no law, no law that can say you can't have joy in your life. There is no law that says you can't have peace in your heart. Because the things of God, there is no law over those. The Bible says if you simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you one more thing this morning. What does that major scene mean to you? What does it mean to you this morning? When you look at that, do you think about your salvation? When you look at that little baby in there, do you think about the peace of God in your heart? Do you think about the joy that you have every day? Or is all that missing? Maybe when you look at this manger scene, it's just another scene. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Father, I